Welcome back to Romantasy, a podcast created by Dipsy. I'm your host, Faye Keegan. This week on Romantasy, we're listening to episode 2 of Pinedale Falls. In the creation of this series and this episode in particular, we had a lot of internal debates and discussion in the writer's room about, you know, what's so hot about werewolves. We all eventually agreed that the number one hottest thing about werewolves is this idea of the beast within, the animal inside, the primal instinct that's contained in this seemingly human, civilized exterior. Werewolves in fiction are often depicted as deeply connected to the land around them. The rocks, the trees, the soil, the stars, the moon, they're a part of the earth. They're very like earthly terrestrial beings, very different, for example, from the way that vampires are often depicted. In this episode of Pinedale Falls, we get to see Wilder in his natural habitat, out under the open sky, exploring the open range of the American West. And we also get to see him caught in the tension, in the challenge of suppressing his inner wolf, his desire to shift. We really got to lean into all the fun werewolf stuff while writing. We hope you enjoy it listening. As a reminder, there's more Pinedale Falls and more series like this made by the team at Dipsy available for you right now on the Dipsy app. You can use code Romantasy at dipsystories.com to get 30 days free. That's dipsystories.com/romantasy to get 30 days free. So here it is. Hope you're ready. Saddle up for episode 2 of Pinedale Falls.
The day after you arrived on the ranch, I drove into town to grab some stuff from the hardware store. We needed a few brackets for the barn beams. They were damn near falling apart and needed replacing. But if I was being honest with myself, I just needed an excuse to get off the ranch and away from you and Dan. That morning, I could still smell the sex on you both, and the rage from the night before still simmered dangerously in my veins. You were both free to live your life however the hell you wanted. I just couldn't bear to see that cocky-ass grin on Dan's face as he dug into his cereal. Truth be told, I wasn't sure why it was upsetting me so much, but I wasn't about to stick around and find out. I got in my pickup and headed into town. When I turned the corner onto Main Street and found the town transformed, I groaned. Come October 1st, Halloween descends on Pinedale Falls like a fog coming up off the ridge. Ain't nothing you can do but wait for it to pass. The locals pull out all the stops, haunted hayrides, jack-o'-lanterns, all that hokey stuff designed to give kids nightmares and cavities. I never got non-supernatural folks' obsession with Halloween. Probably wouldn't be so excited about their pumpkin soy whatever lattes if they knew the guy next in line at the coffee shop was a real-life werewolf. The bell over the door rang as I walked inside the hardware store. The sound was near as familiar as my own name. The old smell of sawdust and paint soothed me. With a project on the horizon, I knew I'd have a chance soon to settle my thoughts. "How's it hanging, Wilder?" Mr. Nelson's voice called from down the long aisle. "It's going. How are you doing, Charlie?" I asked. He sidled out from behind the counter. Mr. Nelson had a weathered face, but a real warm smile. I'd been coming to his shop my whole life, and he'd never been anything but friendly to me. Sometimes I wondered if he knew about my true nature, if he'd be so kind. "I heard the boys are getting together this weekend for the harvest moon. Did you now?" I said. Dan hadn't mentioned to me that he was thinking of getting the pack on the ranch. I cursed him in my mind. I continued to make small talk, but couldn't really focus on what Mr. Nelson was saying. Werewolves can shift when they please if the urge strikes us. But during the full moon, it's not a choice. The turn happens whether we want it to or not. Dan liked to get the boys together for the occasion. They'd all drink beer until it was time to shift. Then when the moon rose high and their blood turned feral, they'd take to the woods and go hunting for big game. Bear, elk, and whatever else they could find lurking up on the ridge. Certainly not a safe place for a human to be hanging out. What the hell was Dan thinking? Speak of the damn devil. My phone buzzed in my pocket, and I knew before looking at the screen exactly who was calling me up. "What's up, Dan?" I said with little humor. "Don't sound too happy to be hearing from me. Dan laughed through the line. I walked towards the back of the store so Mr. Nelson couldn't overhear me talking to Dan. You didn't mention that the pack was coming over this weekend. Thought you'd put two and two together. The full moon happens every month, Wilder. Ain't exactly a surprise. Yeah, well, it's not every full moon that we've got a guest staying with us. Which brings me to the reason I'm calling you up. You're gonna take the girl out for a night of camping. I'm gonna what? I sputtered. You heard me right. You buy up some of that tea so you don't shift. Grab some wire from the hardware store. And then you two can head out with the horses. There's that fence way out on the edge of the property that needs fixing for next summer. It's about a day's ride if you bring the mule and supplies. I'd rather go out there and fix it myself. Yeah, well, that wouldn't exactly solve the problem of her being on the ranch while we shift, now would it? So buck up and pick up some wolfsbane, he said. Wolfsbane was an herb used by humans to ward off werewolves. At least it was back when people still believed in them. In large doses, it was lethal to our kind. But a small amount worked to stop us from shifting during the full moon. I'd have to get some from the local herbalist on my way back. Just another thing for me to do. Besides, Dan said, it'll be nice for you to get to know her. She's a real sweetheart. Just don't get any ideas. She's mine. I almost growled at him, but thought better of starting a fight while I was still in Mr. Nelson's store. So I hung up instead. The way Dan talked about women disgusted me, like they were prizes to be won. Wasn't much I could do about it with him being alpha, though. I had to go along with his bad behavior and plans. I'd much rather be spending the weekend fixing up the beams in the barn. All I could really hope for was that you two were done messing around. So by the time Friday rolled around, you wouldn't have his scent all over you. On the morning we were set to leave, I was real surprised to find you already waiting for me in the barn. You'd managed to get your pack fastened to Honey without losing a finger to her quick jaw. I had to hand it to you. You really had a way with that mare. I packed up Ghost and we headed out. You rode out north in front of me a good 100 yards, and I went ahead and let you do it. For one thing, you still had Dan's lingering scent on you, and I was no mood to be smelling that for miles. And the other thing was, I was still shaking off a dream about you from the night before. We were in the forest, laying in the grass. Your body was bare as anything, and the sunlight was on your skin. You crawled on top of me, riding me like I was nothing but an animal. And then I flipped you on your hands and knees and took you until we both had our pleasure. When I woke up, I was hard as all hell. I had to work one out in the shower while steeling my mind against pack infiltration. And I'd be lying if I wasn't thinking of you while I did it. And I didn't know what Sam would do if the images of you I had in my mind reached him. So, no, I didn't mind that you were riding out far ahead. In fact, I much preferred it. And I was happy to get away from the pack, where my mind was my own. I blamed the whole thing on the full moon. The wolfsbane would stop me from turning, but I always got more primal this time of the month. But Sam had laid down the law. You were off limits. Riding helped clear my mind, and soon I was actually enjoying myself. The breeze was cool, and the mountains were the color of bonfire flame, the leaves ablaze in glorious orange and red. We didn't talk much as we rode. The soft sounds of the horses, the breeze in the drying leaves, and the wild bird songs of Wyoming kept us company as we headed north. When we got to the outer edges of the property, we made quick work of the fence together, then doubled back towards the ranch just as the sky started to change colors. We agreed to make camp after crossing the river, but Wyoming has a way of messing with the best laid plans. I was at the shoreline, filling up my canteen with some water, and you were crossing the stream on Old Honey when she started acting up. She scented the bear before either you or I saw it, rolling her eyes and snorting, trying to back up and run. She reared up and you expertly pitched forward and grabbed her neck to stay on, but your pack tumbled into the stream behind you, spooking the mare even more. How you stayed on, I don't know. But you managed to get all her feet on the ground as she danced and slipped on the rocks, threatening to get you both wet. You cursed as your pack floated down the river. not yet noticing the massive grizzly staring us down from across the creek. I yelled "Bear" and pointed across the river at it. The sound riled it. It had been standing on its back legs and scenting you, but now it started charging. He was a big boy, well on his way to fattening himself up. Easily 500 pounds of angry animal coming straight for you and Honey. You turned and finally saw it barreling towards you. And I knew your blood must be running cold just as mine was heating up. You reached desperately for your bear spray, but it was strapped to the back that was running now through the Snake River Rapids. I was grateful I'd been drinking Wolfsbane because I felt the strong desire to shift. My body pulsed with animal protectiveness. It was like a forest fire under my skin. I wasn't going to let anything hurt you. Not here. Not now. I pulled the loaded gun from my pack and fired two shots into the water in front of the old grizzly. Thank God the grizzly stopped, respecting the gun and turning back into the woods behind, leaving us all alone. "You all right?" I called. And you nodded your head, clearly dazed. Once Honey stopped dancing, it became clear that she was favoring her right foreleg. She'd scraped it in the scramble, and as soon as you felt it under you, you hopped off, leading her through the ice-cold, knee-deep water over to the side of the river where I was. You had good horsemanship. I couldn't fault you for that. You pulled her over to the dry sand, running your hands down all four of her legs, checking her feet, getting a handle on the damage. Not giving a second of attention to your own wet boots or missing pack. You were all eyes on Honey until you'd assessed the situation. And the situation, as it turns out, wasn't all so bad. She'd thrown a shoe and had some scraps and bruises from her antics in the river, but nothing permanent. But you didn't totally see it that way. "I'm not riding her in this state, Wilder." "She'll be fine," I said. "She only has three shoes, she's scraped up, and riding her like this could make the swelling in her knees and forelocks even worse." "I don't suppose you got an alternative plan then?" I asked. "I'll walk her," you said. "Don't be stubborn," I said. "Don't be an ass," she quipped back. You grabbed Honey's reins and started walking, and I followed behind on Ghost. "Get on," I said. "We only have another mile before we make camp anyway." You sighed, but agreed. We put Honey on a long lead, then I hauled you up into the saddle with me. Soon we were settled across Ghost's broad back. You were wedged in front of me, tucked between my thighs, your back pressed against my chest. One of my arms wrapped around the side of you, holding the reins in front of the horn and urging Ghost on. My other hand rested awkwardly on my thigh, itching to creep closer to you. I could feel your ass grinding against my inner thighs with each of Ghost's rolling steps. The long ride and the cool river had washed away any lingering smell of Dan, and all that was left was the sweetness of you. Holy fucking hell. I knew that the ride was going to be torture, sweet fucking torture. Being a werewolf, I had real practice in exercising self-control around my most animal of urges. But I had to be extra careful to not let my more primal thoughts take root in my mind. It wasn't right to fantasize about someone like that, especially when you were right there. But I'd be lying to you if I said it was easy. I reminded myself of how frustrated I'd been with you just a little earlier, how stubborn you were, and how much trouble having you on the ranch was causing me. But none of that seemed to stop the throbbing. Each of Ghost's steps jostled us together, your sweet, soft thighs pressed against mine. Your scent in my nose, your head inches from my chest. So I thought about terrible things instead to keep myself from getting hard, and I kept my eyes on the tree line. We rode on in silence until we reached a spot to make camp for the night. My body was lit up like a can of soda, all shook up, ready to explode. I said I needed to fill up my canteen and went down to the creek, jumping into the cool water to get some relief from the pent-up feeling I'd been holding back for an hour. When I finally rambled on back up the hill, you'd started a fire and were making dinner. My stomach rumbled loudly and you laughed sweetly. With all the drama of the day, I hadn't realized just how hungry I was. I pulled a flask of whiskey from my pack and sat on the log with you. I took a long swig from it and then handed it over. Drinking on the job, you joked, "Hey, we're off the clock now." You took a pull and wiped your mouth with the back of your hand. "Thanks," you said, "for earlier. Back there with the grizzly." "Oh," I said. "It was nothing, really." We were quiet for a moment after that, just as we'd been quiet all day. And for the first time, I wanted to fill all that silence between us. "So, how did you end up on out here anyway?" I asked. "It's a long story," you said. "Well, I ain't got nothing but time," I joked, passing the bottle of whiskey back to you. You told me about growing up out on the coast of Maine. You came from a long line of fishermen and were out on the water as young as you could remember. The days were long and cold. It sounded terrible, and your father seemed like a real salty bastard. But I saw a smile creep into the corners of your mouth as you remembered it all. I couldn't help but think of my own childhood. The long days of riding. Every part of me sore as I climbed into bed. It'd been hard work since the time I turned 16, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't love it. "I loved it there," you said. "But that's why I needed to get out. I was worried I might never leave. I know the feeling. I've been in this town for 30-some years now," I said. "Do you ever think about leaving?" "All the time," I said with a smile. "So why don't you?" "It's complicated," I shrugged. You passed me the whiskey and I took another pull. The feeling of it was starting to warm me up inside, but the wind was picking up and the air was bitter cold. And I remembered that your boots and jeans must still be mighty cold and wet from your stroll through the stream. "You must be freezing," I said. "Oh no, I'm all right." "Don't be a fool," I retorted. I took off my thick work coat and handed it over to you. "Thanks, Wilder," you said, shrugging it over your shoulders. We dug into dinner and talked a bit more. You had a wicked sense of humor and a way of working a laugh out of me. When the moon was rising high, I got to work pitching the tent. Neither of us stated the obvious. The other tent had washed down the river with your pack. When it was all set up, I waved towards the open flap and said, "It's all yours." "Aren't you coming too?" you asked. "Nah," I said. "I'll sleep out here." "Don't be crazy, Wilder. Get in." The night was getting real, real cold. Wind shook the tent and there was only one sleeping bag. The full moon was clear and bright in the big mountain sky. You looked at it and then looked at me. "It's gonna be a long night," you said. "Hey, I'm not too happy about it either," I grumbled. You crawled in and then I got in after you. I kept my hands pinned to my sides, but it was comically uncomfortable. Your sweet scent filled the tent, and even with the wolfsbane suppressing my shift, my primal side was itching to get out. The sound of the pack howling made you shiver. "It's all right, we're safe here. They're far off," I assured you. "You sure?" you whispered. "Would you hold me?" you asked real softly. I paused for a moment, not sure what to say. Then I carefully wrapped my arms around you, holding you lightly to my chest. My heart started beating faster, loud, fast thumps that I was worried you'd be able to hear, and it felt hard to control my breathing. Fucking animal instincts. I stayed perfectly still and completely quiet, not daring to move even an inch. Then you pushed your body back a little so your ass was pressed against me. My dick throbbed, threatening to get hard, but that couldn't happen. Not now. Especially since I figured the move to get closer to me wasn't intentional. You were just trying to get comfortable. But then you did it again, pushing back against me a little more. I froze, not breathing, not moving, nothing. And then you sighed. It was the softest, quietest sigh I'd ever heard, but still, you started grinding your ass against me a little, stretching and moving so you were rubbing against my dick. "Careful," I growled. "Why should I be?" you whispered back. And then I did something I knew I'd regret later. I pressed my lips to your neck, finally taking a deliciously deep inhale of your tempting scent. When I kissed the space right below your ear, you moaned. It was damn near the sexiest sound I'd ever heard. I grazed my teeth against your neck then, not being too gentle, and you seemed to like that. You were trouble, and I was in it. "This is a real bad idea," I said. "If Dan finds out, he doesn't have to know," you said. And then you took my hand and pushed it into the top of your sweatpants, sliding it down until my fingers met your slick, warm wetness. I growled again, and you reached back and started stroking my dick as I played with your clit. "Fuck, you're so big," you murmured. You stroked me faster and gritted my teeth. I wanted you to come before me, but I was going to have to exert all the self-control I had. "Just this one time," you said. "Just this one time," I repeated. And after that, neither of us said anything. The only sound was our heavy breathing and the wind whipping against the tent. Your sweet moans. I was getting real close, and I could tell you were too. I wanted to flip you over, to fill you up, drive into you. And I knew you wanted that too. "Please," you whispered again and again, but growled out a short no through gritted teeth. But with the moon full, it was too dangerous. The herbs would keep me from turning, but my animal urges were too strong. I could hurt you if I lost control, and I wasn't willing to risk it. I slid my fingers down, gathering more wetness, then brought them back up to your clit. I circled it faster while my other hand kneaded your tits. "I'm so close, Wilder." I bit your shoulder, mixing a twitch of pain with the pleasure below. You moaned and then shuddered. Finally, the pressure was too much for me to bear. Every muscle in my body tensed, then released. My cum seeped into your hand as I came. We were both breathing heavily, but neither of us said a word. I wrapped my arms around you again, and you snuggled into me. Just as we were relaxing, we heard the howling of wolves again. I shielded my mind as I held you tighter and told myself that it was just a one-time thing. But a voice in the back of my mind told me I just started something that was going to be real hard to stop.